welcome to the World Cup Report Alicante, podcast covering the Blood Bowl World Cup held in Alicante, Spain in September 2023, with your hosts, Drew and Steve. Welcome to World Cup Report Alicante, the actual episode 39, not like we said last time. This is episode 39. This is Steve, a.k.a. Kilowoggy. With me, as always, is Blood Bowl God, Tim Lyons. How's it going, Tim?
Oh, man. That's overwrought. But,
back in the day, you used to be.
Yes, I guess. Of, like,
Iowa.
You know how, like, the old Syrian or old, like, Assyria and stuff? Just every city would have their own god. And
yeah.
If you came and beat them up, you could just take it. Maybe I was that.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah.
Lesser Blood Bowl gods.
Right, yeah, exactly. Local deity.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Speaking of local deities, I guess we can just get right into it because this might take a while to discuss. We're going to go over the top squad, the winning squad, which is named La Azes.
I believe so.
Which is translated into the asses, and they had donkeys Perfect. On their jersey.
There you go.
They seem to be a sister squad with someone else, but I don't remember who. And I apologize.
Yeah, that's definitely the case.
But yeah, so since they won everything, we're going to go ahead and go over their races and what they took and kind of discuss it and see if we can't understand why they did so well, even though looking at the races they took, we kind of know why they did so well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they definitely played a lot of the most played races, but that's what you're going to want to do to win.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think all but Skaven, really, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's... It seemed like all the top teams kind of had at least about five teams in common, usually, and maybe four here and there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the one they're missing of the most common ones is Skaven.
Well, shall we just get into it and start off with the Amazon squad?
Sure, yeah. I'd say this is probably their least common team, but still was pretty common amongst the top teams. And, I mean, I thought would do great in the tournament, personally. I don't know.
And this is Coach Clement Zero.
Yes.
And what did he take?
He played a pretty similar, I mean, a similar-ish list to what Drew kind of did.
Yeah.
He had the two Jaguar Warriors, of course. He did go one block, one guard, which I think is something we at least kind of mentioned, anyway, as a possibility. He had the two block Piranha Warrior Blitzers. A leader thrower, which is because, as you'll see later, he only has two rostered rerolls, a wrestle line woman and a block line woman, and 15 players, so many, you know, blank line women, and then an apoth and two reroll. So I think this one is honestly not massively far off from, you know, where our ideas were at. I think we had 14 players and three rerolls, but otherwise very similar.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, it'd be nice to know how it worked out for him if he really needed 15 players.
And an apoth.
And I mean, an apoth, it's a lot, right.
Lets you foul, certainly. So.
That is true. That's probably
and a lot of the top Amazon teams played with a dirty player, I think, for that reason. Some even with a bribe.
Well, they are cheap enough, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a good squad. I have not played the new Amazons. I've been wanting to.
Yeah, same.
Just the four strength. He doesn't have a true ball carrier. Do you think he just probably took the thrower and ran with him?
Yeah. The good thing about these guys is, I mean, everybody is six move dodge at least, so they all can fill in his ball carrier. I'd assume he did it on his thrower just in case he needed to pass, probably.
Makes sense.
Plus, you have the on the ball to kind of position you to get the ball easier in the first place.
I do like that skill.
And yes.
It's not one that you're probably going to take too often, but it's a nice one to start with.
Mm-hmm. And same with safe pass. I mean, never. I would never pick that, obviously. But it's nice to have when you need it.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. I don't know. Again, 15 players and an apoth. I know you're pretty crunchy. That's just It seems like a lot.
Yes. Yep. I think in the list I proposed, I used a secondary skill to make one of the warriors block guard, and then mm-hmm. I didn't have the leader, and I had one less player and a reroll, I think. But
oh well,
similar to that anyway.
Obviously, worked for them.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon's great, and I think the guard blocker it had to be amazing. Being defensive and guard together has to be really strong.
And just for the both down aspect of it, for the team name, it's 15 girls, one World Cup.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah. Well, that's probably why he took the 15 players.
It still
wouldn't match his name.
I mean, it'd just be 14 girls and one World Cup.
It can't be 14. Get real.
Yeah, I'm not going to give both down approval on that. And I realize I'm not Scott, so mine doesn't carry ultimate weight, but I'm pretty safe to say he would not approve that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the kind of name he would like. Not in the least.
Which, if this is coming up for Chaos Cup, Scott did just go through all the Chaos Cup names and we should have recorded that because that was...
Oh, you didn't? No. I assumed you did.
Didn't think about it. Left just asked us to do it and was like, okay, cool. And just had Scott do it when he had time. And there's so many bad names, man.
Well, yeah, of course. But and it'd be even more bad names to Scott than to most people.
Yes. Yeah, it very much is.
Like anything that's a pun and couldn't just come out of the second ed rule book, he's not going to like.
Yeah, a little more lenient, but not much.
I guess. And plenty of the stuff in the second end rule book are puns. Yes. But those are okay, I guess.
So let's go on to the next team.
Yes.
It was the Dark Elf Squad coached by Darth Mael, M-A-E-L, assuming. And this is a very interesting one. So why don't you go ahead and break it down?
Yeah. I feel like this happens fairly often in European Dark Elf teams from what I've seen, but it starts off with two assassins, which is definitely something I tried out when we were practicing as the assassins. I think they're great.
Yeah.
They really played well against the meta in what I saw anyway, just there's a lot of low armor value out there with dodge and even block dodge. One of their assassins had dodge. It only has three blitzers, which is probably the biggest surprise here. All of them had dodge as well. Two witch elves, of course, one wrestle, one block, a runner with no skills, and then four regular linemen and two rerolls. So it does have 12 players rather than an apoth. Usually can't fit both.
Yeah.
So basically kind of giving up on the third blitzer to fit the other things. Usually I think you have to do an apoth and 11 players with dark elves if you take the fourth blitzer, so...
So you're saying that two assassins is kind of common for European?
It's at least, I mean, playing with the assassin, okay. I would say, is somewhat common in at least certain parts of Europe, because I've seen it before in tournaments, like that with teams that did very well.
Okay.
I think one of the Euro Bowl teams that was really high with Dark Elves had two assassins, very similar list to this, but I think they had four blitzers.
It makes me happy. I like assassins. It is, to me anyways, it's always hard to justify using an assassin on a blitz because usually you can get two dice with someone else, but you don't have to worry about positioning people to get two dice. And if you mess up, you got a guy standing next to him. So,
yeah,
I mean, it, especially against low armor, go up against Norse, Amazon, Skaven, go for it.
Yeah, I think we even played a matchup against where I had two assassins against your Norse, and I assassinated Ivar Eriksson. That was pretty great.
Pretty sure I quit that one halfway through because it was on fumble.
I think you did.
And I think you had me down like six people by half.
Yeah, that one didn't go great.
No, it was very much like, there's no reason to play a second half.
Right. I know there was a time during at least that match where I was able to blitz in with an assassin where I did it because I couldn't get assist to work out otherwise, mm-hmm. but he could just run in and stab you and knock the ball out, if I remember right. So,
and this is a team with no guard.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's hard to fit in for Dark Elves in these rules, though.
Yeah, for sure. So if we go and look at the team name, Sombre Nefles, it just means Dark Elves. So not so much a team name.
Yeah, maybe he filled out the wrong line.
No, he filled out Dark Elf below it, so in English.
Oh, well, whoops.
Is what it is.
Yeah. What do you think? World Cup report approved?
No.
Yeah, it's about the lowest bar possible.
Yeah, I mean, I do my best. Like, I'm much more lenient than Scott, but I can't. No, that's just, no. So that'll take us on to our next one, which is Lizardmen, coached by Zuul, Z-O-U-L. And this one, much more regular looking. Why don't you go ahead and break it down?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, pretty standard Lizardmen list.
It is probably 90% of all rosters taken.
Right. And though, like, frequently teams would, well, I guess we can go through it and point out the one thing that's sort of flexible here at all. It's Kroxiger, six Saurus, of course, has four Skinks and a Chameleon Skink, which is pretty common just because of the way the cost works out, because that lets you get two rerolls and an Apoth, exactly.
Mm.
Five of these Sauruses have block, and they have one with guard. So that... It was frequently you would see Lizardmen teams where the six Saurus maybe had a different skill, whether that was Wrestle or Guard or Frenzy were all pretty common.
Right.
But a Guard probably the most common. And a lot of them just had six block, too.
Six block, I would guess, is probably the most common.
Probably.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not anything amazing. It's just a straight Lizardmen team, and they are good.
Yep. The one Guard maybe helps you beat other Lizardmen teams, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
When you're kind of equal strength everywhere, you can bring that one guard in and maybe get multiple blocks off of it that are positive for you.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure it comes in handy, but
it's probably a smart move.
Definitely the first one you're going to try to take down.
Yeah. Yep. But they are still tough. So.
Oh, yeah. Only two rerolls. Only 12 players. Mm-hmm. Not much you can do about that. But they do have the Apoth. Probably enough to foul once you start getting an assist, or once you start getting an advantage.
Yeah, and that guard helps on fouls too, I suppose.
That does, doesn't it? I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, it's you know, the skill that needed powered up, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, no one took it before.
Right.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. And Lizardmen did excellent in the tournament. The overall champion was Lizardmen. A lot of the top teams had Lizardmen.
Do we know what the overall champ had for... the squad, like for the team, like what skills?
I'd have to look it up. I don't off the top of my head.
Not a biggie.
I don't think it was far off from that, but we should have prepared that, I guess.
Yeah, we could always do an episode on the top for each race. Did they provide that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we definitely could.
So. Although that is a lot of races, but
right,
a couple episodes, three episodes, who knows?
Yeah.
As long as you guys are still listening, we'll be happy to make stuff.
That's right.
So,
and I don't know how many that has to get down to, but at least double digits.
Yeah. We got like Phil listening. We're good.
Right.
So this one's team name is Swipers.
That's the best one on the squad.
So far, at least. I don't know if there's a story behind it or anything, but I'm going to put it has a half credit.
Yeah, because I'll tell you this, if you just jammed any location name from the old world in front of this that starts with S, it would be both down approved all over it. So
for me, and probably not for Scott, because why are these Swipers?
Know. Yeah, all right, maybe not,
but yeah, Sartosa Swipers. Well, they're not really from Sartosa, because that's a pirate town in Norska, and
yeah, you'd have to find a place in Lustria. So you'd need to do a little research. You couldn't just pick any name. I shouldn't have said it that way.
Right. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got next. We got some Shambling Undead, coached by Helly, H-E-L-Y.
Yeah, you know, in retrospect, I wish we would have had Shambling Undead on our squad, maybe. They're just so good. Mm-hmm. So they were on a lot of the top squads as well. This list, again, is pretty...
But when has Shambling Undead not been one of the best teams?
Yeah, they pretty much always are. I mean, maybe not the best team, but virtually every time they are one of the top teams.
Yeah.
And I believe this team might be identical, if I'm not mistaken, to one of the lists we gave.
Hmm.
So that. There we go. Let's see. Oh, no. It's the same list, basically, but yeah. The skills are a little different. So anyway, they have two mummies, both with guard, which very common. Two whites. They had one guard, one tackle, which I think I had two guard and then tackle as an option. So it's the difference there. They have four ghouls, two block ghouls out of those, and that's all their skills. They did take two skeletons, and frequently you'll only see one. So I don't disagree with that. I think skeletons are arguably better than zombies.
Yeah.
And that did leave them three zombies, which you probably want to put three zombies on the line. So having at least three seems smart. Three rerolls and assistant coach. The undead roster really just fits perfectly at this team build. You know, you get all the positionals, 13 players, three rerolls, and you have 10K to spare. So be hard to build it any other way, really.
Yeah, and like I said, with the three zombies, they're going to go on the line. You hope they don't die, or at least they come back for the next setup. If you need to put a skeleton on there, you can. It's not going to kill you. But with the extra movement on them, I think it's better to have two of them versus an extra zombie just sitting around.
Yeah. And with the thick skull, they're probably almost less likely to leave the pitch than a zombie, but much more likely to get stunned. So.
Yeah. And they can pass. I mean, not well, but they have the actual option.
They are able to. Yes.
On the whites, taking tackle for sure, because it's the only person on the team with tackle. Yeah. You know, you go
and there's no wrestle ghouls or anything. I mean, it's your only way to deal with block dodge players, which there were many of.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that's the best way to go.
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I didn't play any teams out of nine rounds where... Oh, I played one team out of nine rounds where tackle would not have been at least somewhat useful, and it was against dwarves. My other eight rounds all had at least two and sometimes more dodge players, and they were usually either important or very crunchy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because I obviously had halflings, I had wood elves, I had Skaven appearing on a couple of teams, so... I think Khemri was probably my only team I went up against that didn't have a dodge.
Yep, sure. Yeah, Khemri, dwarves, maybe Khorne. Those are probably largely the common ones who'd have none. Even undead like this, they'll have the ghouls. So
exactly. So
same with necromantic.
This team name is
Charismazes.
Whoa!
I don't. Whatever. And apparently, it translates into.
You were gifted.
So, I don't know. Like, is that a common phrase? Is that a thing I should... we're not French, so...
Right.
I don't know exactly in what aspect it's used. So, I would have to give this a pass. As in, not like... I think it's interesting, but I don't know if it works for a team name.
Sure. I feel like it plays into the undead thing well, too. Like, they're gifted in their undeath.
We'll see.
That's like their gift.
But if they said that, I would go with it. But I don't know.
I know typically, it's like, one-word names like that aren't usually approved.
Right. We want it kind of fluffy, but, you know. Let's see. Next squad. Underworld Denizens. Coach name is... Jeff, and he has a very low NAF number, 8964. So,
well, he's the original Jeff.
He is the first Jeff. Makes sense. And this is quite a roster.
Yeah, though honestly, this is a very common Underworld Denizens roster.
Was
weirdly
it?
Enough.
Wow. Yeah,
like this exact roster was very common. I mean, barring which skills they had. And
sure.
Stuff.
Yeah. Makes sense, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It just worked very well. And I think we listed our roster we had for Underworld Denizens was the other common star player roster that had Morgenthorg.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Varric Gulchur roster, which was a little more common.
I think I tried to make a case for Varag because I like him better.
Sure. I mean, the extra, like, if it weren't for the extra skills that Morg eats up, I think he'd be better for sure. But three skills is a lot. Mm-hmm. So, and Varag isn't that much worse. So we'll run down this roster here. Yeah. They have a Blitzer, of course. Their Blitzer has guard, a thrower with no skills, a gutter runner with block, one clan rat with wrestle, then two clan rats with nothing, two goblins with nothing, six snotlings. Of course, everybody would have six snotlings, a juggernaut rat ogre, and then Varric Gulchur, and two rerolls.
Yeah. And that's nasty. That is very, very nasty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a 5-4 casualty type team in most of its games, you know. But you've got 16 players, so taking 5 or 10 casualties, you still have half a team. So.
Oh, for sure. And how many snotlings?
You'll be ahead.
So let's see. How many snotlings are you going to throw on the pitch to start off with? Because you have to have 11 people. So 1, 2.
Well, you're going to put 3 out because then you could maybe put the other 3 out.
Yeah, but then who do you bench? A couple of clan rats?
Goblins, for sure.
The goblins,
yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. And then maybe, I mean, somebody. You definitely want all three snotlings on to start.
Yeah.
Because then that lets you put up to 3 extra players on the field.
I'm so glad they changed that.
Oh, yeah. When you just could just put none on and just get them?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
That was
too
good.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, honestly, they probably don't need that rules change for ogre teams. It's just for Underworld.
Oh, yeah. Ogre teams, nobody cares. You take one tackle piece and you don't get killed by the ogre, you're tearing through those things left and right.
I meant snotling teams. Ogre teams don't have swarming, but regular snotling teams, I mean, they're going to have enough snotlings where they'll get, you know, they'll be able to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
But for these guys, it makes a big difference. And honestly, to me, they should be Noblars or they shouldn't even have them at all. The Snotlings are, I think, what is making Underworld overperform at this point.
Most likely, because like on Blood Bowl 3, they just introduced this. And I'm currently 8-1.
Sure.
Now, a lot of it's people just being stupid on Blood Bowl 3 where you do anything good and they just quit.
Right.
But there's been a lot of games that I've actually played all the way through, and those little snotlings, like, yeah, they should be easy to take down, but if you don't take them down, they're going to cause you a lot of problems.
Yeah, I mean, they're still a dodge sidestep player, so if you're not getting open stars or have block, they're hard to deal with.
And titchy, like, just going through the whole, not a one, and I'm on your ball carrier.
I mean, they're vastly better than the goblins.
Yeah.
I would not have any goblins if I could avoid it.
Well, they stay alive longer and have two, I don't know, whatever. No, they're goblins. They're nothing great.
Yeah. And not that goblins are bad. I used to love Underworld goblins, but just compared to snotlings with the swarming, they're so much better. I mean, maybe this would be okay if they just had Noblars. And then all you're doing is getting the advantage of the cheap roster that lets you jam in extra stars and not also getting to play maybe 2-3 extra players per drive.
Yeah, the extra players is really where it's at.
Yeah, Underworld's so good. I mean, I don't have to tell anybody. Again, I think they had the highest win rate.
That's just crazy.
So,
the overperforming Underworld Denizens.
Yep.
So for this team name, we've got, as it's written, Vivarg's family. And it's not Varag's family. It's spelled differently.
Yeah.
It's Vivarg's with an H family and an extra va. No. I'm going to go with the no.
Maybe the rat ogre is named Vivarag. And Vareg's like a son.
Maybe, but I don't... Now, the bad thing is, not that this is going to happen, but we can't see any player names.
Right.
So maybe if they named the players and it matched up, but no. 99% of the people don't do that.
Right. In tournaments, you frequently will not see player names anyway.
Yeah. And for the most part, no one cares my opinion on the team names, but whatever. You're still going to get them.
Yeah. I bet that's people's favorite part of this whole episode, Steve.
You never know. So let's move on to the final one. And this is a Wood Elf team. The coach name is Silcone. S-I-L-K-O-U-N.
Well, I believe he's a pretty well-known and very successful coach.
Well, I don't know him, and I apologize.
Okay. I've seen the name before.
Okay. You look at data a lot like this more than I do.
Yeah, a little.
So go ahead and break it down
for
us.
I know Mike Davies, but...
Well, no one's Mike Davies. Jeez.
You're right. Yeah.
With love, Mike.
And Wood Elves really did much better at this tournament than they have been doing in a lot of Blood Bowl 2020 tournaments. And it's probably, I would guess, the lengths they went to make Stars difficult to play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, I mean, Wood Elves don't really benefit from Stars being better in any way. So
no,
that's just another thing on the pile of minor tweaks to Wood Elves to make them slightly worse than they were in the last rules when they were the best team.
Yeah, and when you take other squads or other teams that are not so good and then allow them to take a star, which puts them at really good for scoring now, kind of kills, or you know, speed or whatever, kind of kills the advantage that Wood Elves get.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, they're not going to be able to do it. What are you going to take, the Swift Twins or, you know?
Did anybody take the Swift Twins?
I don't know.
You don't want to check your data?
I don't need to
Pretty
look.
Pretty confident?
I could be wrong, but I would bet a lot on that. I'm almost positive nobody took the Swift Twins.
I think you're safe on that.
I would bet at least like $1,000 on that and not worry about it at all.
And it sucks. I like them. And I think they're
cool really
models
cool.
And stuff. But
yeah. Honestly, if they were split up, you would see them.
Yes.
Especially the Blitzer one. Like, he would get played mm-hmm. for half that cost. That guy would be all over the place. And the thrower's good, too. But, I mean, how do you afford, like, 400K with an elf team?
You don't. Even with all linemen, it's not easy.
You're playing in a 1.4, you know, team value tournament, it's... You can't fit it in. Too expensive.
Right.
This was a pretty standard-ish Wood Elf team. I mean, it's hard to say any of them were standard. They were pretty varied, certainly. And this list is definitely... Like, I feel like Wood Elves are one of the teams we missed the most and messed up the worst on our preview of races. I don't think we did a great job on the Wood Elf rosters, but...
That's fair.
This one is pretty normal-ish. Treeman with guard, two war dancers, one frenzy, one strip ball, a leader thrower, a sidestep catcher, which I'm sure helps you out with one turns,
mm-hmm.
Two regular catchers, a wrestle lineman, then four regular linemen to give you 12 players, a reroll, and an assistant coach.
And 5,000 left over.
And 5,000 left over. You do see that these days.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very basic option, but how can you go wrong with frenzy and strip ball on award answers?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
I can't remember. I think those were the two most common word answer skills, I'm pretty certain.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely strip ball was number one, but frenzy was either like two or three. It's very common.
Strip ball and the poor man strip ball.
Yes, and I mean... With the leap, you can get a lot of surprise crowd surfs, and mm-hmm. even with just the dodge and the high agility, it's nice to have that frenzy.
Well, like when I was doing that way. The recap, I played that woman who, Sarah Connor, who, you know, mm-hmm. got tricked into playing, and I don't know how well she was as a coach, but she knew the basics, and she was pressuring me left and right. And just by nature of having this team, she's able to put a lot of pressure on me and make me, you know, score faster than I wanted to.
Yeah. I know there's a bit of a push among some people to move Wood Elves to tier 2 in tiering instead of tier 1, and I feel like at least if you're stamping stars down, that idea was put to rest at World Cup in a big way. Like, yeah. Wood Elves were very successful.
Makes sense.
If stars could just run completely rampant and are normal, then maybe that would be true. Maybe.
But I'll be interested.
No way if they're not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll be interested to see how Chaos Cup structures out this year, because it's going to be obviously the biggest American tournament, and American coaches tend to be different than European coaches in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the taking star players there also comes with a negative. So,
yeah.
You know, we're still going to see how that plays out. I think most likely we're going to see how broken vampire teams are.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you mean by broken. I don't know that they're
half the top
best
10.
Team, and they might be a top 10 team. Yeah,
I think half of them will be vampires.
Oh, you think half of the top 10 teams at Chaos Cup are going to be vampire teams?
So
wow. I mean, that would be considered a problem. Certainly.
Underworld Cup just ended, and Craig, roommate, just went, and the top two teams, and these are really good coaches, and top two teams were vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Or first and third. One of the two. So if you have good coaches taking vampires, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Like I said, I'm interested to see how it turns out.
I mean, I would say almost certainly if your definition of broken is that they aren't one of the worst teams anymore and they're competitive and good, then vampires will absolutely be broken.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. And there's so many different ways to make the roster.
They will be competitive and good. Yeah.
They'll definitely be competitive. But there's so many different ways to make the roster now that might allow for, you can take a lesser squad, you can take a more min, you can take a min or a max squad, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So, who knows?
And the way that Bloodlust works now, you're a lot more free to take more Bloodlust because you don't just lose those guys.
Mm-hmm. God. That's, again, we shall see.
Yep. We'll see.
This team name is Wooden Asses, which I'm to guess is Wooden Asses.
Right. I'm sure
just
it is.
Throwing it out there. No, that's fine.
What if he had like a team mascot that was a wooden ass?
Yes, all day.
And I mean like a, you know, a donkey.
Yeah.
Would that salvage it for you?
If he'd broken it up into wooden, like WODYN as one word, and as a second word, so I could in my mind believe that that's a town called Wooden.
Sure,
but. That's okay. I'm pretty sure they're happy winning the World Cup. They're not going to be
you're right.
really caring about my opinions on their team names.
They're not racked with regret on listening to this podcast on after the World Cup.
We could have done better.
Their team names were both out approved.
Yeah, no. They did just fine.
Yeah, I bet they're happy.
And what was their overall record? Do you remember?
Were they 9-0?
Nah. They couldn't have been 9-0. This has to be on the website still.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Do I have to log in? Mm-hmm. I am logged in. Oh, it just takes a while for it to pop up. Okay, weird. Squad score after round 9. And we have as 17.
Now, they were 8-1.
Yep.
8-1-1-draw.
Wonder if they drew the last one.
I bet they did. What was Kokoropow's
Kokoropow
point total? Did they lose it?
They were 16. Same with Predatory D, Atlantide, All the President's Men, and Red Leaf Mercenaries.
I think they played Kokoropow in the last game.
They did.
So if those guys have no losses, then
yeah, that makes sense.
They must have drawn. Yep.
See, overall team score. Not sure what team score is, but they got a 73.
I think that's the individual players totals added up.
Okay. Yeah, they had 73. Core Powell's was 80. The opponent's score was 119 versus 114. I don't know why I'm telling you Core Powell's. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, they were the runner-up.
Right, runner-up, yeah. Just, yeah. So, touchdowns 4, Azez, 65. Kakor Pau had 77. Touchdowns against, Azez was 40. Kakor Pau was 36. Touchdown net, 25 to 41. Casualties 4, 132 to 127. Casualties against, 117, 105. So casualties net was 15 to 22. So overall, it seems like Core Pow had better overall metrics when it comes to it.
Kind of ahead in almost every single metric.
Mm-hmm.
I think other than, weren't they behind in casualties dealt?
Casualties.
But not overalls, overall net. Yeah.
Exactly. And that was it. But again, that's not what matters. Matters is the end result. End result is they were tied at the top table, from what we can tell. And Azez came out on top with the better overall, with 8-1.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Amazing.
Just looking at all the other squads. A lot of data.
Yes.
That's cool.
So much.
Holy cow. Number 14, the Templars. Their casualty net was 102.
Yeah. And I assume it wasn't because they only took like 20.
No, they caused 195 and took 93.
Yeah.
Now, taking 93 is still lower than everybody up until the 19, the Hack Flem Globetrotters, but 195, I'm just going to go down the list until I see the next one that's even close. There's a 176 at 77. There's a 162. They had to have gotten the most.
I think so.
I could probably go back to a page and look, but I'm already here scrolling, so I'm just going to keep scrolling. It's a lot of squads.
A lot of squads.
162. Oh, lordy. Nope. Evolution Slapping Beans. They caused 240.
That's a lot.
That... It goes 240. The other guys, what did it say, 170 something? Well, 195. And then 160s. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Well, anything else to talk about with the top performing squad?
I mean, congrats to them. They obviously played an amazing tournament.
We can only dream about doing that well.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think we could certainly improve on where we were. But
oh, sure, we could do better.
I don't know about 8-1.
No.
8 wins and 1 draw. That's probably a bit farther than we'd realistically make it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Like I said, I don't have anything else. If you don't, calling it a wrap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wrapping it up.
We'll wrap it up, and we will be back next time with who knows what. We'll figure it out before then. So, see ya.
Yeah. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to World Cup Report Alicante, a joint podcast between 3 Die Block and Both Down. For more information, check out World Cup Report Blood Bowl on Facebook, WC Report BB on Twitter, or email us at worldcupreportbb@gmail.com.